Very quickly, I also like to announce, some people have wondered, oh, what if I want to have a moment with the pastor? How do I do that? Because I don't think I'm part of the inner circle. There is no inner circle. We are all in the circle of Jesus. Praise the Lord. One of the workers asked the question last week that is being a worker like secret service? I'm like, no, it's not secret service. Everybody is welcome to join. Praise the Lord. If you want to have a moment with the pastor, just speak to the office. Sister Melissa, please stand. Sister Melissa is the administrative assistant. I'm here Monday through Friday, 9 a.m. to 9 p.m. on most days. Some days I'm here beyond 9 p.m., sometimes 10 p.m., sometimes 11 p.m., as the need arises. You know, so if you need a moment, the only reason I say speak to her is I don't want you to come and you are kept waiting because I'm with somebody else. All right, so if you want to come, please schedule a time with her. She helps me with my schedule now because I've been very, very bad in the past. Somebody says they want to see me. I say, come. You know, so I tell four or five people to come at the same time. And then they go, I say, let's just sit down and have a group meeting. You know, but now I'm grown. I'm a little better now. Praise the Lord. So last week, we started our sermon series on the parables of the kingdom of heaven. And what we did last week was a general introduction. And just a quick recap, because I know there are some people here that were not here last Sunday. So we did a quick introduction, and I told us that the gospel according to the apostle Matthew, thank you very much, he was trying to accomplish a few things. He wanted the people to know who this Jesus really is. And it is important for you and I to really know, even today, who this Jesus is. He was showing to them from Scripture that this Jesus is not just a prophet. This Jesus is not just a good man. This Jesus is not just a teacher. This Jesus is way and beyond being a teacher or a good man. He was showing them that this Jesus is a Messiah that has been prophesied to come. He was showing them that this Jesus is the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. He was showing them that this Jesus is God himself. And the way he did this is the way we presented it the last time too. And may I please sound a note of warning here? The Bible says that everything that is written in Scripture is written for our examples. So like Matthew was writing to them then, the Holy Spirit is still writing to us today. So whatever their experiences were then, I pray that the good experience will be the portion that will be referenced to us in the name of Jesus. Because back in the day, as they accepted Jesus and some rejected him, today some have accepted and some are rejecting him. It is my prayer that you will not reject the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. So in Matthew chapter 1, he showed them his lineage. That is from the lineage of David, the messianic lineage. And in chapter 2, we saw that the Magi, they came and they paid homage. They reverenced him, they worshipped him as the king. And in chapter 3, the Bible tells us that the heavens opened up during his water baptism. The heavens opened and God affirmed him. The Holy Spirit affirmed him. The Holy Spirit came in bodily form and rested on him. And God made a declaration that this is my son. So God affirmed him. God the Father and the Holy Spirit, they affirmed him and confirmed him. And in Matthew chapter 4, he was showing us his victory, his conquest of the devil. For you to overcome the devil, you must have some power that is beyond the power of man. So he's showing us that look at this Jesus. The devil, Satan himself, came physically and tempted him and he could not prevail over him. He's showing us his power in overcoming the devil. And in Matthew chapter 5 to 7, we saw the Sermon on the Mount. And with his words, as he spoke with authority, he was showing us that not only is he a God indeed, is also God in words. He was telling them, you have heard it said before, but now I say unto you, praise the Lord. He spoke with such boldness and authority that the people began to ask, that where did this man get this authority from? Is this not the son of Mary? Is this not the son of Joseph? We know him. We know his brothers. We know his sisters. Where did he get this kind of authority from? He spoke with authority, and the apostle Matthew is trying to show us, even from the words that he spoke, that this is God. This is the Messiah. This is the King of Kings, and this is the Lord of Lords. And in Matthew 8 to 10, he was illustrating to us the miracles, the signs, and the wonders. The Bible tells us that he came down from the mountain and a leper ran to him. Said, if thou will, I can be made whole. He said, I will be thou made whole. And he was made whole. And then he went to Peter's mother-in-law's house. She was sick. He healed her of her sickness. And she began to minister to them. And afterwards, the Bible says they brought all the people that were possessed and all the people that were sick, they brought all of them to him. And he healed them all. And praise the Lord. In Matthew chapter 9, there was a man that was paralytic. And there was so much crowd in the house, they couldn't have access through the door. They tried the window. There was no way through the window. They went through the roof. They tore open the roof and let the man down into the house where Jesus was. And the Bible says, Jesus said to him, thy sins are forgiven you. He knew why they came. The man's problem was obvious. It was obvious that he was a paralytic. He did not address his paralysis, he addressed a sin. That is telling you one thing, that sins can bring diseases to us. Ask the people with HIV virus, they will tell you. Because if a man sticks with his wife and it's just between the two of them, there will be no HIV virus. At least for the most part. Because I know somebody will have an exception to the rule. Praise the Lord. So he was demonstrating his power. They saw the miracles, the signs and the wonders, and they could not deny the miracles because these were real things that were happening. So what did they try to do? They tried to separate his fruit from his person. And that was where we rounded up the last time. But you see, in Matthew 11 and 12, because Jesus had been presented to them in a way that they could not deny, but they were still hard-hearted. Jesus himself began to proclaim judgment on the people. In Matthew chapter 11, he begins to declare judgment on the disobedient generation. And may I say that even in this generation, if we are disobedient to his word, what he said concerning them is also true for this generation. The Bible says in Genesis chapter 6 and verse 3, Genesis chapter 6 and verse 3, it says the Spirit of God will not always strive with man. What that simply means is this. Have you noticed when you are committing a sin, if you are a believer, the first time you fall into sin, you feel terribly bad. You feel so dirty and nasty. But by the time you do it third, fourth, fifth time, guess what? You are justifying yourself. God knows that I need this thing. Amen? You're stealing. The first time you stole, it was, I shouldn't have done that. You forged the paper. You felt bad. But by the time it becomes your way of life, nothing pricks you anymore. You sin without thinking. You sin without feelings. In fact, the only feeling you derive from the sin is pleasure. And the Bible says that. It said the pleasure of sin that is but for a moment. So sin is pleasurable. It's just that the end of it is destruction. Praise the Lord. So it says the Spirit of God will not continually strive with man. So he had been showing them many things to convince them. Since they refused to listen, he began to declare judgment on them. He told them, he said, every sin is pardonable, but the sin against the Holy Spirit can never be forgiven in this world and in the world to come. And I remember I said this last time, please, I beseech you by the mercies of God. If you don't know how a person is operating and they claim that they belong to Jesus, if you can't follow them, just let them go their own way. And you go your way and go where you are, you have peace. But that you will begin to speak against something that God has not spoken to you, please don't do it. Praise the Lord. So he began to declare judgment on them. He said, if you continue this way, saying the things that you're saying, that these things that I'm doing by the power of the devil, is saying you are going into eternal damnation. Eternal damnation. But you see, the interesting thing is, even in judgment, he's still merciful. Even in judgment, he's still gracious. In Matthew 11 from verse 28, Matthew 11 from verse 28, it says, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. It's saying you hear all of these things, you are struggling to believe. He said, don't struggle to believe, just come unto me, and let me give you rest. He said, why? Come unto me, and I will give you rest. Why? Take my yoke upon you, and learn of me, for I am what? I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your soul. Somebody say amen to that. May you find rest for your soul in Christ Jesus. May you meet with Jesus, and may he give you perfect peace that passes all understanding. It says, the peace that I give unto you is not as the world gives, but the peace I give unto you, it passes all understanding. The peace that passes all understanding. In chapter 12, he continues to proclaim judgment on them. But in chapter 12, verse 50, what does he do? He offers them grace again. He offers mercy. Mercy opens a door for people to still come in. What is he saying to us today? Even though you may have said and thought what you have said and thought, God is saying that there is renewal for you today. Okay, at least one person needs that. There's renewal for you today. A lot of times, many people, the reason they cannot serve God anymore is because they have done so much evil that they think God, even God, cannot accept them anymore. Friends, I tell you, the cry of God day and night for you and for me is that we be saved. God, the Bible says, for he so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever, somebody say whosoever, it doesn't matter where you have been, what you have done, whosoever believes in him should not perish, but what? Have everlasting life. It means he knows that there is a path that leads to destruction. And for him, because he loves you and I so much, he has made a path that leads you away from destruction and leads you directly to himself. Praise the Lord. Have you ever gotten to a road, you don't know where you're going, and there's a fork in the road? Has it ever happened to anybody? And you now stay there, you're like, many, many, many more. You just do your thing. Then you say, let me go left. Praise the Lord. But God has not left us guessing. He has not left us wondering. He has created a path for us, and he says, I am the way. I am the way. Don't look anywhere else. Jesus, I am the way. He's offering himself unto us. He's offering himself to you. He's offering himself to me, and he's saying, follow me. Isn't that what he said to Matthew when he met with Matthew? He said, follow me, and he followed. May you follow in the name of Jesus. In Matthew chapter 12 and verse 50, he said to them, he said, for whosoever shall do the will of my Father which is in heaven, the same is my brother and sister and mother. Friends, He did not mind the fact that they have rejected him. He's telling them there is still a way of escape. People of God, never say, because I have done it for so long, I have to continue doing it. I praise the Lord. You may have sinned, you may have fallen into sin, but it is not a reason for you to continue in the wrong path. My favorite famous example, if I'm going to Dallas and I'm headed 35 north, I'm not going to arrive in Dallas. I will arrive someplace, but it's not going to be Dallas. Because to get to Dallas, it's 35 north. But the moment I realize I am going in the wrong direction, what is my responsibility and duty? Turn around. Turn around. That is what it means to repent. To repent is to make a U-turn. Not 360 degrees, 180. Because if you make a 360 degree turn, you are heading where you were heading before. Make a U-turn and change course. And that is what the Lord is calling us to do. Jesus spoke to them in parables. And I want to show you two reasons why he spoke to them in parables. And he said it in scripture himself. In Matthew chapter 13, 11 to 13. Matthew 13, 11 to 13. He answered and said unto them, because it is given unto you to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven, but to them it is not given. Stop right there. The disciples were asking, and said, Master, what is this thing you're doing? Why are you speaking in parables? Just tell them plainly what you want to tell them. You don't know who you are, that's why. He said, I am telling them in parables because this mystery of the kingdom is meant for you. It's not meant for them. So one of the reasons he spoke to them in parables is because he wanted to reveal God's truth to the righteous. And the number two reason is the opposite of that, to conceal the truth from the unrighteous. So since you and I are children of the kingdom, it is imperative that we understand the secrets hidden in these parables. So Jesus, listen to this. Listen to this. Jesus was saying to the disciples, he's saying, I am giving mysteries. I'm giving secrets. But these secrets are embedded in parables. It's kind of like, not that I don't encourage lotto. Don't play lotto. That's gambling. Amen? Buried at the other end of that, say like a phone card. You buy a phone card. But they have the pin. The pin code is matched. You know? There's money on that card, but you don't have access until it until you scratch that thing to gain access to the pain. That is what the parable is like. So it's given to you, but the truth is buried in it. And he's saying that I have done it like that because I want the righteous to have access to the truth so that they can live by these things, enjoy the benefits of these things, and then their lives can become a testament for the world to see. So when I live by the word, when the parables that he has spoken, when I can understand them and I can put them to use in my life, it makes a difference in my life and my life becomes a light or like a lighthouse in the middle of the sea. Praise the Lord. So let's take our text. Today we'll be talking about the parable of the sower. The parable of the sower. This is a very familiar parable. Many people know this parable. So we're going to read from verse 1 of Matthew chapter 13 to the 9th verse. And then we're going to skip to read the interpretation of the parable from 18 to 23. So Matthew chapter 13 from verse 1. The same day went Jesus out of the house and sat by the seaside. And great multitudes were gathered together unto him, so that he went unto a ship and sat. And the whole multitude stood on the shore. And he spake many things unto them in parables, saying, behold, a sower went forth to sow. Verse 4. And when he sowed, some seeds fell by the wayside, and the fowls came and devoured them up. Some fell upon stony places where they had not much earth, and forthwith they sprung up because they had no deepness of earth. And when the sun was up, they were scorched, and because they had no root, they withered away. And some fell among thorns, and the thorns sprung up and choked them. But other fell on good ground and brought forth fruit, some an hundredfold, some 60-fold, and some 30-fold. Verse 9, who hath ears to hear, let him hear. Let's jump to verse 18. It begins to tell them the meaning of the parable from verse 18 to 23. It says, hear ye therefore the parable of the sower. When anyone heareth the word of the kingdom and understandeth it not, I want you to underline that, understandeth it not, which means does not understand. When you hear the word of God, there is something that is so very important for you and I that we must understand. When I come away from reading the word and I have no understanding, I must seriously pray, because I am not the unrighteous. I am the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. I praise the Lord. Every mystery that is hidden in that word is not hidden from me, it's hidden for me. Oh, somebody didn't hear that. So the mystery is not hidden from me, it's hidden for me. It's kept for me. So it is a strange thing for me as a believer, as the righteous, to read the word and not have understanding. There's something wrong with that picture. So verse 19, it says, when anyone heareth the word of the kingdom and understandeth it not, then cometh the wicked one and catcheth away that which was sown in his heart. This is he which received the seed by the wayside. But he that received the seed into stony places, the same is he that heareth the word, and anon with joy receives it, yet hath he not root in himself, but dureth for a while. For when tribulation or persecution ariseth because of the word, by and by he is offended. He also that received the seed among the thorns is he that heareth the word, and the care of this world and the deceitfulness of riches choke the word, and he becometh unfruitful. Verse 23. But he that received the word, the seed into the good ground, is he that heareth the word and understandeth it, which also beareth fruit and bringeth forth, some 100, some 60, and some 30. May God bless the reading of his word. The first principle we must see here is the principle of sowing and reaping. Everyone that sows will reap. Amen. But there is a problem with that. It did not say everyone that sows only good seed will reap. Everyone that sows will reap. Whatever you have sown, you will reap it. That goes to say that if I sow evil, there's a harvest waiting for me. That means if I sow unrighteousness, there's a harvest waiting for me. That means whatsoever I have sown, I must expect a return on it, good or bad. That's the danger. That's the danger. So that danger must clearly warn us that we must sow good seeds. And you see, This very principle about sowing and reaping, that is why Jesus told them, he said, if you don't understand this number one parable, he said, what else will you know about the kingdom? There is no likelihood that you will understand anything else because this is so foundational. You know why? Because even from beginning of creation, God already instituted the principle of seed and harvest. In Genesis chapter 1, as God was creating, the Bible says on the third day, God spoke that the earth should bring forth vegetation. Verse 11. Genesis chapter 1, verse 11. And God said, let the earth bring forth grass, the herb yielding seed, and the fruit tree yielding fruit after its kind, whose seed is in itself upon the earth, and it was so. God already from the very beginning instituted seed and harvest. Listen to me, people. Your experience today, whatever you are experiencing today, you are reaping a harvest of the seed that you have sown in years past. Unfortunately, some people don't have any harvest at all. You know why? They planted no seed. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. That is the reason why when you are supposed to be sowing and planting, and clearing the field and doing the everything, if when you don't do that at that time, it's like a student that refuses to sow the seed of study. Instead of studying, he's praying. Father, okay. He will give you grace to handle the failure. It's the truth. There is seed time and there is harvest. There is seed time and harvest. As a student, the way I glorify God is by excelling in my studies. The way I honor God as a student is by doing well in my schoolwork. If I'm a student and I'm failing, I'm not glorifying God. It's as simple as that. Let's take the mask off. Say, oh, no, we're very busy in church. Okay. Your priorities are kind of upside down. There is a time and place for everything. The problem is people want to do everything and then still do this. If anybody is failing in school, I can guarantee you it's not because of church. You know why? Because all of the time you spend in church, if you put everything together in 1 week, is maybe 6 hours the most. 6 hours 24 times 7 is not the reason why a person has failed. It's less than half, if I ask, a fourth of a day. So the point I'm trying to make is, because I don't want you to misunderstand what I said, I'm not saying service to God is unimportant, but I'm trying to paint a picture to you that if you are not sowing the right seed, failure will be staring at the person in the face. But thank God for the Holy Spirit. He's the comforter. It's okay. It's okay. We'll try it again. And God gave me a word for some people today. I'm going to share that with us in a little bit. Praise the Lord. So the seed and harvest principle has been in place from Genesis. From the very beginning, God put it in place that this is how we're going to live our lives. The Bible says we must lay our treasures in heaven where moth and rust cannot eat it up. So God is making clear to you and I his expectation of our lives. Is somebody hearing me this morning? The question I have for you is, do you understand what your seeds are? In the text today, the seed is the word of God. And the earth is our lives. It's saying the sower came and planted seed. So right now, by the grace of God, my humble self is the sower. I'm sowing the seeds of God in your heart right now. The question is, your field, is it filled with rocks? Is it filled with thorns? Or are you by the wayside? The people that are by the wayside are the people that are non-committal. They are just floaters. They have not committed to Christ. They have not committed to anything, but they come to church when it's convenient. It's a good place to start, but it's not a place to stay for long at all. It's a place for you to move forward and say, today I commit myself to Christ. Because you see, from the text that we have read, the Bible says if you are non-committal, you are like that person that the seed fell by the wayside. And the seed that fell by the wayside, guess what happens to them? The birds of the air comes and they eat the seed. You know what will happen? It will have been as though the person never came to church. Because everything he has learned just flew out the window. You know how you know this? You come to church and you hear a message that encourages you so much about your faith in God, and you are excited. And you step out of the church, service is over. You are still grinning from ear to ear. Oh, man, what a good word. And as you are walking out, the telephone rings. You go, hello? Say, yeah. And they give you a piece of news, and you can't even remember what you were excited about 5 minutes ago. The bird of the air just ate up your seed. Friends, any farmer that plants and eats all of his seed is an utterly useless farmer. Every farmer knows this. Once they harvest the best of their seeds, they set them aside so they can plant again to reap more harvest. You must guard your seed. You must guard the word of God in your heart. You must make sure that your heart is a good ground for the word to grow. Because therein lies your prosperity. And when I talk about prosperity, please take your mind further than money. Because when we die, everything ends here. In fact, every privilege and right is lost when we die. There's a story of a man in Africa, very rich man. And she knows the story. Very rich man. He wrote his will and he said what his wishes were. Okay. But he has children. The children went to school in England. They grew up in England. They don't go back to Africa. So when he died, they went home for his funeral. You know, 1 year, 2 years, 3 years passed. They didn't see the children. So the family members were very kind. So they were calling and saying, you know what? Your father died. He left a huge estate. Say, what do you want us to do? They said, sell everything. Everything the man had, they sold. But his mansion, he had a palace, a huge mansion. They couldn't sell it. You know why? Because part of his wishes in death is, make sure you bury me in my house. So they made a tomb in the house and buried him there. So nobody wanted to buy the house. So they told the children, said, you know, we granted your father's wishes. He said we should. He said, but we can't sell the house because of it. They said, exhume his body, go bury him in the cemetery and sell the house. Friends, what am I saying? In death, you lose every right and privilege. Yes, they took over the estate, and now that the estate is theirs, guess what? They could do whatever they wanted with it. He couldn't say in death, as, no, don't take me to the cemetery. I want to be in my house. Well, too late. Too late. So when I talk about prosperity, I want you to cast your mind beyond money and houses and vehicles and those things that give you pleasure and comfort. Because heaven and earth will pass away. Heaven and earth will pass away. But not an iota of the word of God will go unfulfilled. Friends, the world is a field for us. Your very life is a field. The words of God that have been sown in your life, what is happening to them? The ones that fell on rocks and they have much earth. What you simply need to do is to remove those things from your life that are hindering your walk with God. Because God has determined, listen, the earth did not ask for seed to be sown in it. Did you get that? The earth was not begging, oh, please come and sow seeds on me. No, 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 please go. No, no. It was God himself. It was the sower himself that made a decision that I am going to sow. So the truth of the matter is God has a plan for your life that far exceeds what your expectation of God is. It means the plans that God has for you are better than the plans that you have for yourself and expect God to have for you. The Bible says he will do exceedingly, abundantly, above all that we may think or ask of him. I praise the Lord. Job 23 verse 14. Job 23, 14, it says, he will complete everything he has appointed for me. He there is talking about God. He said, he will complete everything he has appointed for me. Ruth, it means God has certain plans for you that you are not even aware of. Because it says, and many such are in his mind for me. So there are things that God has started in your life. And he's saying, his desire is not for you to be an abandoned project. His plan is not that your life will be an unfinished project. No, that's not his plan. He said, I will complete, I will complete everything that I have appointed unto you. And there's a scripture I've been praying since yesterday. Isaiah chapter 50 and verse 7. Isaiah chapter 50 and verse 7. It says, and the Lord God will help me. TJ, the Lord God will help you. The Lord God will help me. Say, for the Lord God will help me. Therefore, I shall not be confounded. Therefore, have I set my face like a flint. And I know, somebody say, I know.
I know.
And I know that I shall not be ashamed. You will not be ashamed. I say you will not be ashamed in the mighty name of Jesus. But I beseech you by the mercies of God, unclutter your life. Unclutter your life. So the sower came, God came and he planted seeds. But because the life was so cluttered with so many different things, what God planted could not thrive. What was planted could not survive. You know what? Too many things competing for space. Too many things. You know, many people will commit half-heartedly to a dozen things. Friends, if you can just look at your life and just pick a few things and give it your full devotion, you will see your life transformed. If you want to make your life count, if you want to make a difference in life, know what things are important in life. Know that there's a life beyond this life and give those things priority in your life and watch your life transform. That life will change completely. The Bible says the peace that I give is not like the world gives. It is the peace that passes all understanding. You know, the peace of God. Somebody once drew an illustration of peace. And guess what they drew? They drew a man that was just like that, and there was storm all around. Peace is not an absence of problem or trouble. Peace is calm in spite of problem, in spite of the storm. And only God can give such. Only God. Only God. So he said the first guy is the one that fell by the roadside is the one that is non-committal. The second guy fell on stony ground. That is the one that the life is cluttered. Cluttered. The third guy, he said the seed fell among thorns. What are the thorns of life? We did a sermon series a while back We called it Go Back and Pick Up the Baton. And we were studying the scripture in Proverbs chapter 24. The Bible talks about a man whose field was overgrown with thorns and thistles. It said the fences, the walls around the farmland, the walls were broken down. Friends, listen to me. Any life that does not have boundary is a life that is not going anywhere great. If in your life you don't have boundaries to say, oh, no, I can do this, I can do that, I can, but this, I know I can't go there. I can't go there. You must have boundaries in your life. If I'm a young man or a young lady, unmarried, yet to be married, there are certain things I don't do with the other guy, no matter how we have promised ourselves we're going to marry. I just don't go there. Why? Because I know this vessel is sanctified unto the Lord. Say, send me graphic picture, vivid picture. Say, send me a vivid picture. Say, go online and search for vivid pictures. It's not this vessel. Praise the Lord. Any life that does not have boundaries is a life that will be devastated with thorns and with thistles. You must make sure you have boundaries in your life. It doesn't matter how much I am suffering. There are certain things I just will not do. I'd rather go hungry than do certain things. Somebody here told us a story of her experience way back when. She had two choices: starve or prostitute herself. She was in faraway location where whatever she did, nobody would know about it. You know, there's an old proverb by the elders. They said, when you are in a foreign land, you can bear any name you like. If I tell you, oh, Pastor Yuri, how you doing? My name is Jack. Will you say I'm not Jack? You don't know what you do. Now you know me. But if you didn't know me, and I said, my name is Jack. Guess what? The next time you see me, how you doing, Jack? Because when you're in a foreign land, you can bear any name you want to bear. But she said she thought about it. And she said, I would rather starve than prostitute my body. Your case may not be that extreme. You can be burning with passion. Say, oh, I'm just burning. I would die if I... You won't die. You won't die. You won't... I'm telling you, you will not die. You can be angry, but you won't die. Praise the Lord. Praise the living Jesus. It said the one, verse 22 of Matthew chapter 13, he also that receives seed among the thorns is he that heareth the word, and the care of this world and deceitfulness of riches choke the word, and he becometh unfruitful. Friends, and I'm beginning to round up now, please understand this. Heaven and earth will pass away. Believe me. Everything that has a beginning has an end. My life had a beginning and there's an end to it. Your life had a beginning and has an end to it. It is very important that we understand these things. Remember the scripture I shared with you in the beginning. The things that have been written for our examples. For our example. So if I don't learn from them, only a fool will say, until it happens to me before I believe it. That is foolishness of the highest degree. If you can't learn from other people's example. It says, the one that fell among thorns, the thorns that it's talking about are the cares of this world. Ask yourself, how has your fervency for the Lord increased? Okay, let me rephrase it. How has your fervency for the Lord diminished? I think a lot more people can relate with the second part than the first part. Why? Because we are busy and about so many things. Busy and about. Busy and about. Busy and about. You know how you used to pray. I've told this story before. A very good friend of mine, all these friends, I pray they don't hear these messages online. I couldn't mention anybody's name. So there's a friend of mine, when we're back home in Africa, and he was planning to go to, in fact, he went at one time. He put money together. He went to London. When he got to London, at the port of entry, they called his uncle. His uncle said, I don't know him. Send him back to wherever he's coming from. So he came with the flight. He left at night, arrived London in the morning. By the following night, they sent him back to Nigeria. So he was only gone for like 2 or 3 days. You know, so when we saw him, we're like, what happened to you? He said, oh, I lost my passport. They stole my money. They stole my... He just told us all kinds of stories. You know, he said, they stole everything. I said, wow, people are wicked. How did they know you were carrying this thing? Anyway, cut long story short, later on he told us, he said, I was lying. I got there, they deported me. Okay. So all of us, about the same time, we now got born again. We started going to church. You know, in fact, I couldn't fast. He was the one that started. He was fasting and fasting. I'm like, I pray that this boss will not pass me. Let me, if this boy is fasting, like before his life will now turn around and he will overtake me so rapidly. So me too, I was just doing what I could do. He fasted and did everything. You know what? The next time he applied, they gave him visa. They gave him everything he needed. He went and he entered. And he has a PhD now in finance and something. Doing very well. But guess what? So 4 or 5 years ago when I spoke to him, he was literally asking me, who is God? Friends, if you don't put things in the right order, priority, and perspective, it will not be long before you begin to ask, by the way you live, who is God? He's over the bend. Why? The cares of the world. Friends, money is good. Please preach it to your neighbor for me. Tell them money is good. Money is good. In fact, the Bible says money answereth all things. You don't know? That's in the Bible. It says money answereth all things. That's how good money is. The Bible says wisdom is a defense. And guess what? Money is a defense. The Bible says there was a city, they had a problem, and a poor man came up with a suggestion and he delivered the city, but nobody remembered it. You know why? Because he's poor. So money is good. That's not what I'm saying. Money is good. Money is good. The reason we're here today by the grace of God is because God allowed the money situation, everything to work out well. But friends, there is no amount of money that can equate to your soul. The Bible says, what shall it profit a man if he gains the whole world and loses his own soul? To gain everything and lose your soul, the Bible says, it's not worth it. The cares of the world. I want to be this. I want to be that. I want to get that. I want to get that. After you've gotten everything, then what? Solomon, the richest man in history. The Bible says, after he got everything he had gotten, he said, I have not denied my soul anything it wanted. He said, but now I look back and I can say, vanity upon vanity, all is vanity. Is it wrong to be in pursuit of success in life? Absolutely not. Like I said before, failure does not glorify God. Failure does not honor God. But do I pursue success in life at the expense of my soul? Absolutely not. You don't do that. You don't do that. You don't do that. You see, America is fast pace. Fast pace. Before you know it, you are living like the Joneses. and you have forgotten where you started off. Praise the Lord. Now you have the credit, you can afford to buy all the debt you can put on your head. And you get so fat with debt and you are happy. Yeah, but please don't do that. Please. 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 Because anyone that owes is a slave to whoever he owes. I am trusting God within the next 5 years we will pay this thing off. In the name of Jesus. Let me tell you the implication of that. Let me tell you the implication of that. The implication of that is God will not drop money from heaven. It means God is going to bless somebody here. Amen. And I praise the Lord. I sign up for that. God, you can trust me with resources. We pay it off. Because you are a slave to whomsoever you owe. And they have taught us that in America, you must owe to live. It's a myth. There are many people that are living debt-free life. It's a myth. I told my wife, I said, sweetheart, this truck, I don't care how many new models they make. As long as it's running, it's okay. Except I have the physical cash to put on a new vehicle. I ain't gonna do it. It's running. But they have convinced her, oh, there's S3. Have you heard there's S4 now? I said, thank you. This S3, I say, cannot use every functionality in it. Let them do S6. S3 is still good. Many of us don't even use those things. Say, oh, you can write on it. When I was buying this one, I said, buy the note. I said, why? He said, because you can write. I said, I will never use it. So why should I buy? And I'm serious. I will not use it. I know people use it. I see Victor, he uses it a lot. But you have to know, because you see Victor writing on his note, does not mean the next time you're buying a phone, you buy notes. I will never use it. I know myself. So I keep it real with myself. I have the note something on there, you know. Friends, you don't have to live by debt. That's the point I'm trying to make. And the Bible says there were some that were planted on the good soil. And what intrigued me about that is even though they were planted on good soil, some produced 30-fold, some 60, and some 100. Let me ask you an obvious question. What kind of turnover would you like? 30-fold? Just say yes or no. 30-fold? No. 60-fold? No. You're greedy, man. 100-fold? Yes. That's what I signed up for. That's what I signed up for. And what determines 30? What determines 60? What determines 100? Your commitment. Your commitment. Because there's no problem with the seed. All the seeds were the same seed. Because they are from the sower. He is bringing the seed from a bag. All the seeds are equally as good. But the soil and the season of life determine how much yield you're going to get out of it. God said, as long as the earth remaineth, seed time and harvest shall never cease. The Lord will bring you your harvest. Amen. In the name of Jesus. For every good seed, every righteous seed you have sown, the Lord will give you a harvest. In the mighty name of Jesus. Please rise to your feet. I'm going to make two calls because I want us to pray. I want to make two calls. The number one call is, it's possible you are in church today and you are like one of those that fell by the wayside. Why? Because you are non-committal. You have not given your life to Christ. You have not committed to follow him all of the way. That will be you. You can begin that process today and say, I want to give my life to Jesus. You see, commitment to Christ is not about church attendance. Always in life, it is the experience that whatever you commit to, you become. So until you commit to Christ, you can never be like Christ. You can talk about him, you can tell others about him, but you will not be like him. To be like Christ, you must commit your life to Christ. With every head bowed, every eye closed, you say, I want to make that commitment. Or maybe you made that commitment before and you have gone back. This call is for you. The second group I want to call, please listen very closely. This is the word the Lord gave me in the place of prayer yesterday. The Lord said there are some people here, you have attempted something 3 times. I don't know if it's an exam or it could be conception. Maybe you've been pregnant 3 times, but you miscarried the pregnancy. Or it could be a business that you have attempted to do 3 times. Or it could be something that you have applied for 3 times. But what I heard clearly is 3. The Lord said you have tried 3 times and it has not worked. Today God wants to establish you in the mighty name of Jesus. If you fall into any of these 2 categories, I want you to come forward very quickly. We're going to pray. You want to commit to Christ? Say, I want to commit my life to Christ. I'm tired of being in limbo. I'm tired of being a floater. I want to commit to Jesus Christ. Please come. The Spirit of the Lord says, come. Or your story could be 3 times. I don't know what it is, 3 times. And the word the Lord gave me for you is that in Genesis chapter 48 and verse 16, Genesis 48 verse 16, the Bible says, and the angel which redeemed me from all evil blessed the lads. The angel of the Lord will redeem you from every evil. In the name of Jesus. In Exodus chapter 6 and verse 6, the Bible says, wherefore say unto the children of Israel, I am the Lord, and I will bring you out from under the burdens of the Egyptians, and I will rid you of their bondage, and I will redeem you with a stretched out arm. I want you to reach out unto the Lord this morning. Reach out unto the Lord. Stretch your hands out. Just stretch it out. I say, Father, in the name of Jesus, redeem me. Redeem my soul. Buy me back, O God. Redeem me from failure. In the name of Jesus. Just talk to the Lord. Talk to the Lord. And it could be a repeated sin, a repeated sin pattern. But you know what it is. The Lord told me that when I say 3 times of a repeated thing, you will understand what I'm saying. Every bondage of sin is destroyed. In the name of Jesus, every cycle of evil is destroyed. In the name of Jesus. Ye katalia radabo shantalia radabo. Reno shentelia. Receive. Receive it in the name of Jesus. The Lord will deliver you in the name of Jesus. You will no longer be rejected. You will no longer be rejected. In the name of Jesus, receive the favor of the Almighty God. In the name of Jesus, renewal, renewal, renewal. The Lord will renew you. In the mighty name of Jesus, Jehovah will renew you and redeem you in the mighty name of Jesus. Amen. Meko sotombre dia radabo shakatande dia radada. Jekatande ia bro shakata. Jeko sunta ia radabo shantalia. Oh Father, in the name of Jesus, redeem, O Lord. Redeem, O Lord. Save, deliver, O God, in the name of Jesus. You are not man that you will lie, neither the son of man that you will repent. What you say you will do, that you do. Have your way, O God. Let your will be done. In the mighty name of Jesus, I stand in agreement with your children this morning. And Lord, let it be so. Jehovah, let it be so. In the mighty name of Jesus. Thank you, blessed Redeemer. In the mighty name of Jesus. If you are rededicating your life, where's Dr. Ayo? Dr. Ayo, please stand over here. If you are responding to the first call, please go with him. There is more beyond. Praise the Lord. There is more beyond where you are right now. And believe me, whatsoever you commit to, you become. Whatever you are committed to is what you become. If you are not committed to anything, you don't become like anything. People just wonder who you are. If you see a man or a woman walking today with two heads, what happens? We all jump out the window because we have just seen a monster. The Lord bless you. You may please. If you are rededicating your life, you are making that commitment to Christ, please go with Dr. Ayo. We're going to say the closing prayer now. Pastor Yuri will lead us in the benediction.